To get it, your hospital has to meet a bunch of criteria, including one about limiting use of general anesthesia. Recently, there's been discussion about making sure this isn't inadvertently causing patients to suffer. There's also been discussion of adding a new measure of excellence, percentage of patients in pain. Redefining excellence can change culture and practice. So, in theory, can a lawsuit. The medical and legal systems can reinforce each other to make change. But there's not much evidence that this works with pain during cesarean. Putting aside the fact that many women are unlikely to want to pursue a lawsuit while traumatized and caring for a newborn, what happens if they try? I talked to one obstetric anesthesiologist who has served as a medical expert witness on a couple hundred cases in the past few years. In that time, he's been asked to review notes on fewer than 10 about pain during cesarean. He says most patients like this are told they don't have a case. When one case actually did get to court a couple of years ago in California, it was heard in federal court. Delfina Mota, that's the patient's name, Delfina Mota versus United States of America. The transcript of the bench trial follows a familiar template, with the judge ultimately finding, essentially, your story is suspect because no one heard you scream. Lest you think I'm exaggerating, here are some actual lines from his ruling. Quote, no one heard plaintiff resist or refuse the procedure. Also, quote, plaintiff testified she screamed as the procedure began. However, this scream, of which much was made, was not confirmed by any third party. Nurse Wood did report plaintiff saying, help me and I can feel everything. None of the others heard these statements. The judge ruled against Delfina Mota, who had not finished high school and said she worked as a caretaker. She was 25 years old at the time of her surgery. It felt like I was on fire, Delfina testified about the surgeon's first incision. I could feel her hands, her gloves in me. Plaintiff's version of the events is not credible, the judge wrote. She was also, he added, psychologically brittle. Nobody raised doubts about Clara's credibility. Nobody rejected her story. In fact, it was the opposite. I told Clara about an exchange I'd had with a doctor who'd approached me when I visited UIC. She's like, I don't know if you know, but we had this thing happen at our hospital. There was a patient who was, you know, in a lot of pain during her cesarean. Yeah. And it's really changed a lot at our hospital. And she's a nurse. And now in cesareans, she's like a real advocate for the patients in the room. And like everybody kind of defers to her. Is that your experience?
Yeah, it is.
Clara was crying, and I assumed I understood why. But then the next thing she said showed me that I hadn't.
I think that people, which again, it just makes me so fucking mad that it's just so typical, right? Because here I am, their coworker, their white coworker. So now we notice.
More than 80% of the patients who have babies at UIC are Black or Hispanic. There's almost no data on race and pain during cesarean, but a recent study of 110 patients at one hospital in Texas found that Black patients were 5 times more likely than white patients to report C-section pain.
And yeah.
Has that ever been like explicitly talked about, like, wait, guys, we woke up to this when our white coworker, like, when this
I happened. Mean, I talk about it, but I don't know. I don't know that it's necessarily, yeah, been a big part of the conversation.
I think that that's a very valid thing for Clara to say, and God bless her for being, you know, cognizant of that and thinking more globally. But if it had been an African-American nurse, it's one of your own. So that's what made her so special, right? Because it was, that should never have happened to one of your own, right? And it should never happen to anyone, but it was big and dramatic and one of our own.
One of us, one of our own,
is a phrase other doctors on L&D also used with me. The way they said it was the same way Heather says it, fierce. So why did it matter that Clara was not a patient who left, but one who stayed? Within her close-knit unit, it made what happened to her harder to dismiss. And it made it possible to keep talking about it, at first just among themselves, and eventually publicly. Pain during cesarean is an issue. Clara's surgery and what it prompted is a story. It's nowhere in the medical literature. You can't find it in PubMed. And yet, as one obstetric anesthesiologist put it to me, stories are also a kind of evidence. They too can change the way doctors practice medicine, especially when, as both Susanna and Heather understood, you attach those stories to lessons. Story, lesson, those essential building blocks of so many genres, including, yes, medical dramas. Medical dramas. We, as in we the TV-watching people, we love them so much. You know who else loves these shows? You know who's watching along with us? Healthcare providers.
Grey's Anatomy, for me, I've watched all of it. I'm going to say it. It is my binge watching.
It's so many seasons.
I know. It's so many seasons.
21. And Heather has a critique.
All of those shows are designed to have those set of doctors be the only people who can do everything, right?
They need to be the heroes of every episode. It's all up to them. But of course, the goal of the work that Heather and others are doing is to get everyone to care about pain during cesarean. It shouldn't be something that matters only to one ensemble on one unit at one hospital. It should be standard. So standard that it shouldn't even be worthy of a storyline. Pain during cesarean is not a new problem, but for a long time it's been a hidden one. The everyday heroes on our show brought it to light. And now let's tuck our characters in, along with the hospital, see Mindy putting her dirty scrubs into the machine, and Clara walking across the street to the garage. And follow Heather downstairs to the third floor. She has an overnight. She'll be around for a while. Now let's pull back, get the whole hospital in the frame. Hot orange sky, the day is so long this time of year. And hold that shot. End of show. Bold, centered, all caps. The Retrievals is written and reported by me, Susan Burton, and produced by me, Julie Snyder, and Ben Phelan. Julie edited the series. Ben did research and fact-checking. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter, where each week we'll share more reporting from the show, listener stories, and reading lists. Go to nytimes.com/serial newsletter. Music supervision, sound design, and mixing by Phoebe Wang. Original music by Dan Powell, Fritz Myers, and Nick Thorburn. Additional music in this episode by Marian Lozano. Carla Pallone composed our theme song, and it was remixed by Dan Powell. Additional production by Mac Miller. Additional mixing by Katherine Anderson. Editing help on this episode from Jessica Weisberg, Laura Starcheski, and Jen Guerra. Our standards editor is Susan Wessling. Legal review from Dana Green. The art for our show comes from Pablo Delcon and Eric Tanner. The supervising producer for Serial Productions is Inde Chubu. Additional producing comes from Mahima Chablani, Jeffrey Miranda, and Corey Beach at The New York Times. And Sam Dolnick is Deputy Managing Editor of The New York Times. Special thanks to Mike Hoffkamp and Emily Sharp, who are among the authors of the study that found a higher rate of cesarean pain for Black patients in Texas. Jennifer Schwenk, Katarina Beckman, Rachel Waldinger, Nick Pittman, Kyle Grandillo, Aswadi Giaram, David Gutman, and James O'Carroll, the doctor who came up with the question, if you were in pain, did you tell anyone about it? The Retrievals is a production of Serial Productions and The New York Times.
Hi, this is Sarah Koenig, host of the Serial Podcast. If you like this show, season 2 of The Retrievals, and I'm betting you did, and you haven't listened to season 1 of The Retrievals, I encourage you to go check that out because I think you'll love season one also. The first episode is available for free, but the remaining episodes are exclusive to New York Times subscribers. If you aren't a Times subscriber already, I ask you, respectfully, what are you waiting for? When you subscribe to the New York Times, you'll get all the normal, excellent things you get with a New York Times subscription, and you can listen to every single show we've made over here at Serial Productions. That's 14 shows. There's all four seasons of the show that I host, the Serial Podcast. There's S-Town and Nice White Parents. There's The Trojan Horse Affair and The Coldest Case in Laramie. There's The Good Whale. These shows have everything. Seriously, investigative reporting, mystery, genre-bending storytelling, bizarre plots, superlative writing, a song. You will find what you're looking for, I promise you. You can sign up for a New York Times subscription in either the Apple Podcasts or Spotify apps, or at nytimes.com/podcasts. And if you do listen to our shows, please let us know. You can leave us a review in a podcast app or email us at serialshows@nytimes.com. We really do read every email we receive. And thanks.